Okay. Hello, everybody. This is Jeff, and you're listening to Firebrand Radio. And you're about to listen to a brand new video game show out there called Just Press Start with Jeff and with Zesserox. Zesserox is actually the host of the show, but he can't think of a good way to introduce stuff, so he's leaving it to me. Take it away, Zess.
Yeah, I definitely am not good at this at all. But hey, you're doing a fine job. I think you're the host now, dude. Seriously.
Nice. So. Instant promotion.
Woo! See, look at that. But anyway, hi and welcome to the first episode of Just Press Start, Firebrand Radio's podcast about video gaming and all things around video gaming. We might stray from time to time to movies and entertainment and stuff like that, but we're going to try to stick to video gaming.
Especially, and I'm not supposed to mention it, but I'm gonna, Beatles Rock Band.
Oh, man, why did you have to go there already? Ah, that game. So
actually, we probably won't be talking about it at all, but I just felt like I had to say it because I was told specifically not to.
I don't know. I'm really not happy. We might as well just jump into the video gaming talk now anyway.
Absolutely.
I'm just not happy with the implementation of the drums in the music games. I'm really not. Though I have to be honest, and now I'm going to get back at you here. While I was at Vicarious Visions last week,
Vicarious Visions? I hadn't heard.
Yeah, I was at Vicarious Visions.
Oh.
Yeah, you did heard. You were supposed to be there with me.
I know I was supposed to be there with you. What with the fact that I was the one who came up with the idea to go.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad again. But
no, you don't. You're over it.
I so am. So anyway, I got to play Guitar Hero 5 for the Wii, and I really like what they did with the Wii with the whole fact of roadie battles and stuff, but we're going to save that for next week.
Wait. Weren't you the one who said a few years, not a few years ago, earlier this year, that the Wii was not for quote-unquote classy gamers?
All right. That was not me, actually.
Oh, that wasn't you?
No, that was our friend Jen.
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind.
So, before you start touting that on me, let me tell you that I did borrow my parents' Wii, and I was rocking Secret of Mana. Because I know my good retro games.
Wow.
So take that.
Well, just
but anyway.
Oh, you want to go retro? I'm about to bust out my copies of Combat Mission. Take that.
Wow, you are old. So anyway.
I believe the phrase is old school, right?
No, just old.
Just old.
Days. So,
well, okay, anyway. Well, then I'm going to do one more. I wanted a good baseball game this year, so I tried the MLB 2K9 demo for the Xbox 360. So, yeah, I was still looking for a good baseball game this year when somebody pointed me in the direction of, actually, MVP 2005 for the PC. Now, why would you play a four-year-old baseball game, you may well ask?
No, actually, I don't ask that because I play a four-year-old football game.
There you go. Nice. Well, if you go to EA Mods or MVP Mods, they have it all set up that you can have the 2009 season, which I'm currently rocking right now, plus a total classics to play as, like, Murderer's Row from the 1927 Yankees. They have one for the this year's World Baseball Classic with all the world teams. There's supposed to be Nippon Baseball League mods out there, which I haven't found. So if you've got an Xbox 360, yeah, don't bother with 2K9 because it's garbage. So go get your PC. Unfortunately, it's like 50, 60 bucks for a copy of MVP, but oh god, it's so much more worth it.
Nice. Though, I'll be honest, I don't play any of the Maddens because, as I said, I still play a four-year-old copy of a football game, which actually, Jeff, my lovely co-host here,
lovely
got
and
me
talented.
Onto, ESPN NFL 2K5. All right.
It's
which
pretty.
Is kind of funny. It's kind of funny. Do all sorts of gang tackles in 2K5.
Oh, you mean the brand new feature?
Madden.
The brand new feature that Madden was supposed to put in that, wow. I mean, someone innovated it 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So, anyway.
Sorry.
Let's stop on the retro gaming here. Actually, no, let's not stop on the retro gaming. What's so big about this week, Jeff?
So big about this week? Oh, wait. Could you be referring to... I'm sorry, I got to lay off that. Zesserox is, of course, referring, well, of course, if you know about it, that 10 years ago this week, the Sega Dreamcast made its ill-fated jump into the console market. Ill-fated because it was the best console almost ever, but it went up against a far inferior PlayStation 2 and just got smoked for no very good reason.
Nah. It was definitely out of its time. Graphically, design-wise, everything-wise, that system was definitely out of its time.
And, oh, yeah.
And it's so terrible that what happened to it.
I remember trading in my PlayStation in 5 games to get it free with that and a copy of Soul Calibur. God, what a great day that was.
I can imagine.
I'm sorry, Soul Calibur 2, I believe, at the time, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
Listen to us. We're the retro experts. I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of them.
It's because it was Soul Calibur, dude. Look at the atrocity that Soul Calibur 4 is, all right? Let's not go there. So, yeah, no, 10 years ago, the Dreamcast. It's shocking, and I feel old.
I gotta tell you, I still will occasionally play Worms World Party. I will still occasionally play Choo Choo Rocket. And up until recently, when I finally broke down and bought a PS2, I was playing Fire Pro Wrestling D, which was the, up until Fire Pro Returns came out, the best wrestling game ever made.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I remember sitting in the dorm room. Yeah, wow. I was in college still. Holy crap. I remember sitting in an old friend's dorm room, just rocking Street Fighter 3 Alpha or something like that. Didn't have the regular Street Fighter 2 characters. It had a whole different set of characters except for Ryu and Ken. And
like Birdie, yeah. I think, right?
What's that?
Wasn't Birdie in it?
No, it was more like one dude named Yun, another dude named Yang.
Oh, Street Fighter 3. I'm sorry, of course.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It was
a great game. So, but yeah, no, it is ill-fated because you know how much like you could do with a Dreamcast now? My friend...
Surprisingly little, unfortunately.
No, my friend actually has a CD for his Dreamcast, and it's a Nintendo, an original NES emulator for the Dreamcast.
Oh, the Bleemcast. Yes, I've heard of that.
And the disc has like 500 NES games on it. I think that is the absolute awesomest thing. I mean, come on.
That is pretty cool.
So...
It's just unfortunate that it ran up against such a machine of PS2, and it was able to convince everybody that it was a better system, even though it was nowhere near. It couldn't even hold, you know, the Dreamcast's coat on a good day. But so RIP Dreamcast, and 10 years ago today, it was again like Zesserok said there, way ahead of its time, and it's going to be missed.
Yeah, it is.
But you were talking about Vicarious Visions earlier. And about getting to go there. So, should we jump into that? About your big, exclusive blockbuster thing? Alright, folks. Welcome back. This is Just Press Start on Firebrand Radio. I'm sorry.
You don't have to say welcome back.
Oh, we don't have to have... We don't have commercials here?
No.
I'm used to saying welcome back when I come back from a music break.
I know.
It's my DJ... habit coming back.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Anyway, folks.
I'm going to leave that in there, too, just because.
I think we should.
Welcome back. We never left. I'm just going to edit it all together in the end.
Oh, that's that fancy editing computy stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, you can do all kinds of neat stuff with that interweb.
I know.
I hear they have it on computers now.
I'm going to have a field day with you.
So anyway, Zesserox was talking about Vicarious Visions before.
What? All right, I'll stop.
Yeah, it makes you wonder who should have given the interviews, huh?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Zess, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, all right, all right, first off, I'm going to say it right now so everyone knows. This was not fully my idea. And I'm taking my hat off to Jeff because Jeff was a lot of support for it.
Fully?
I really am.
What do you mean fully?
Fully.
It wasn't fully your idea? Wait a minute.
No,
what?
It was not fully my idea. In fact, I was scared crapless. I was going to curse. I was scared to death when you said, why don't you just email him and do it? And I was just kind of like, no.
Paralyzed with fear.
Yes, I'm not gonna deny it, dude. You really pushed me to do something really big and beyond me, and I'm thankful for it. And really, honestly, the time that I had up there getting a preview of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2.
And I had the time of my... Oh, sorry, what?
I did. Getting a preview of Guitar Hero 5 before it came out, but that dropped this week. And just sitting there and being able to interview the folks and whatnot, you know, if it weren't for you, that wouldn't have happened. And I'm sitting here, I'm trying to give you credit and actually not steal the credit on this one. In fact,
I'm just being a jealous jerk because I didn't get to go.
No, see, here's the thing. I'm actually upset you didn't get to go. I really wanted you there.
I know.
It was kind of funny. I was like a little lost puppy when I was up there at the start. They were like, "Oh, what's wrong?" And I'm like, "My co-host can't be here." And they're like, "What, do you need your co-host for everything?" And I was like, "Actually, yes. Yes, I do." My co-host keeps me in line. But it was a good time. I did get to sit down and play Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2.
I believe you're referring to it as MUA 2.
They all were referring to it as MUA 2, and I ended up starting to call it MUA 2.
Yeah,
so
I think we need to stop doing that.
That's why I said Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 again, and there it is again. So I got to sit down and play it, and I'm going to be honest, if you haven't pre-ordered it yet, get out there and pre-order it. The game is going to be awesome.
Do it at GameStop, by the way, too, because that's where you get the real unlockable or DLC character.
See, here's the thing. I don't know where you have to pre-order it in Europe to get Juggernaut.
Oh.
But those of you that are in Europe that are tuned into this as well,
yes, find out
where
you have
to. Yeah. Yeah, wherever they have Juggernaut, that's the place you want to pre-order from. Because the places that are touting Thor and Jean Grey and the Hulk, like, not worth it. Because you can unlock them as you play the game. You'd get these little things that you collect, kind of like you did to unlock Daredevil and Black Panther in the first Marvel Ultimate Alliance. But yeah,
also known as MUA, apparently.
They're just going to give you a code that you can put in and unlock the character. Whereas Juggernaut is DLC, and you're going to have to pay for him if you don't pre-order him from the store that has that exclusive right. And I just stole so much of the producer's interview there.
Oh, well.
It's all right.
Why don't we just play the rest of it?
So,
since you've brought it up, you spoke to, who was this again? Dan Tangway, I believe you said his name was?
No, Dan Tangway. He is actually the lead game designer or game director.
Oh.
And his interview is like the meat and potatoes of the game. Everything that you ended up ever wanting to know about the game, he really talks about, and that was, I have to say, that was like a really great interview for both of us, because I think I was asking him questions that no other interviewer was asking him. So yeah, that was the good one. But
yeah, I thought asking him what he was doing after the interview was probably out of line.
No, it wasn't, because he said he was going to dinner, and I said, "Cool, I'll be there." So so anyway, I guess we could play the producer's interview first, because the producer's interview really gets into, you know, DLC type stuff. It gets into, I'm sitting here, what they're playing, their favorite characters, and it really kind of just touches on
working with Marvel.
Yeah, working with Marvel. So you get a basic idea of what it was like for these folks to work with Marvel. You know, getting rid of some of the fears about the DLC and what have you, and how there's going to be a lot of DLC for this game, it seems. So
they better bring out Cyclops.
You're actually mentioned in that interview, too.
Oh, I've actually heard that part of it. And I'll tell you what, I'm already wearing right now my Cyclops visor as I do this bit of the set.
Wow, man. You make my geekdom seem so small.
It's too bad that the webcam is not attached, because you could see the Cyclops visor.
Yeah, I don't think they want to see that, Jeff.
I cut a dashing figure in the Cyclops visor. Thank you very much.
Nice. So, without further ado, here is the producer's interview. I got to sit down with them up at Vicarious Visions.
Talking about MUA 2.
That's right.
Now I'm joined by Jason Schroeder, associate producer, and Jennifer O'Neill, executive producer for Vicarious Visions, who are both working on Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. So we heard quite a bit from Dan, and Dan actually did a nice job. I'll give you the rest of the questions that he couldn't get to because he's busy. So the first thing that a lot of my listeners want to know, what's it like to work with Marvel Comics?
Well, Marvel was really great to work with. Marvel has a team of people on the video game side who have backgrounds in video game publishing, producing, as well as in development as well. And so they took a very collaborative approach when working with us. They knew that we were going to be taking on the Civil War storyline, but they also recognized that we are making a game and needed to have a certain amount of creative license with this, and they were great in giving us suggestions, pointing us in the right direction, and you know, they looked at every asset in the game and helped us get where we are today.
Anything to add to that?
Not really. I mean, they're somebody that we try to keep them in the loop every step of the way, and like that's just, it helps us maintain a really positive relationship with them.
Cool. So who most from Marvel gave like input into this? Did you guys like, you know, direct with Stan Lee, or was it just some of the other writers and artists?
Well, there is a group, as I mentioned, that is associated with the video game portion of the licensing business. Todd Jefferson, who has an extensive experience in the game industry, as well as Chris Baker. So between the two of them, we got a lot of feedback, some ideas as in terms of what kind of voice direction we should give, what kind of casting we should do, you know, the kinds of costumes that we should maybe look at. So, you know, from the very beginning, the two of them have been extremely helpful in our process.
Yeah, we'd be able to ask them, you know, we have this idea for a character, we saw it in one comic book, can you point us to some more reference to justify, like, or how, what we should make this look like in game, and they could provide a lot of reference and a lot of help in that way as well.
Cool. Now, is it true, does Stan Lee make a cameo in this one?
Stan Lee does make a cameo in this game. We're very fortunate to have the opportunity to chat with him at San Diego Comic-Con a couple years ago. And although he's made voiceover cameos in other games, this is the first time he's actually making a physical appearance. So it was great that he was really into the idea of doing it. He went to one of our studios in Santa Monica, got a full facial and body scan. We got him completely in the game, along with some really good lines, and we're really excited, you know, that we're one of the first games to have him in this way.
Cool. All right, so I probably don't, you know, point this at either of you, but it's a little of a side question because a lot of my my listeners like to wonder this. So I'll start with Jason on this.
Sure.
What games are you playing right now, other than Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2?
I'm playing Bat Princess on PS3, which is a cooperative battle game, and basically anything cooperative or RPG kind of gets me going, so I'm working on the right game.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to finish Star Ocean on Xbox 360.
Nice. And what are you playing, Jen?
Well, I started playing Infamous, but since we just finished, you know, working on this game, and I've been pretty busy up until then, I really just have been plugging into Plants vs. Zombies.
It's the second time I've heard that game mentioned.
I mean, you know, I love growing my little garden and killing zombies. There's just something very satisfying about that.
Nice.
That'd be more zombie killing and gardening.
Like I said, that's not the first time it was mentioned. Dan mentioned it too, so it's kind of amusing. So in terms of the game itself, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, who's your favorite character to play as, Jen?
Oh, my favorite character is definitely Songbird, and it's interesting because, you know, as a comic book character, I thought she was interesting, but I think in the game, just watching her evolve, I mean, you gotta realize that we're with these characters for 2 years, you know, 24 characters, that they begin to feel like family after a while. And of my children, she is my favorite. And,
don't let the other kids know.
Exactly. But I like her. I think she's a really cool character, just kind of her the duality of her background being, you know, a former supervillain and now being a hero. And she's just got really cool powers. I mean, her manifestation of powers in this game has been just really cool. She's definitely someone you definitely want to fuse with, no matter what hero you have. So certainly Songbird is the one.
Nice. Who's your favorite, Jason?
Thor, the great and mighty Thor.
Wow.
I love Thor. His power set is, I think, powerful to the point of being overpowering. He's got powers that will pop people up into the air, and then what happens after his powers is what some of the stuff that makes the game really exciting to me is people start grabbing enemies out of the air and then throwing them around the room, and then things blow up all along the sides because he's just got such an effective radius with his lightning. His fusions are extremely powerful. And I geek out a little bit on all of his quips being, "Aha, the son of Odin!" You know, I think it's hilarious, and so Thor kind of wins for me.
Cool. Well, it's already been mentioned in the play session that I had with you that Juggernaut is a DLC character. Are there any other plans for DLC? More characters? More missions? Anything kind of like that?
We can't really reveal much on DLC now, but I can say, you know, certainly there's a lot more in store. That, you know, characters is certainly a consideration, and, you know, as always, we've always got the fans' favorites in mind. So,
need I plug right now my co-host that couldn't be with me? Cyclops is his favorite, which is really sad, and he's upset that he's not playable in the game. So, if you could do him a favor, slide Cyclops in there at some point, that'd be cool. Another really big thing that does come up though is that, and we talked about this, like I said, doing the preview, but kind of for the listeners to hear it. Here in the States, GameSpot is promoting Juggernaut as free DLC if you pre-order from them, while another company, Game Crazy, is saying that you get Thor. So some of the fans are concerned that they're not going to have all the characters. So, like, how was the decision made for, like, this exclusivity between the stores?
I can't really speak to that. That's sort of between the retailers and our marketing department.
Okay.
I mean, I think one thing, you know, as Jason mentioned, Thor is his favorite character. You can get him in the game. Mm-hmm. There's collectibles that you can unlock him. So,
right.
You know, if you want to unlock him early because he's your favorite character, then definitely go to Game Crazy or, you know,
yeah.
And you can get him that way.
Right. Is it? Well, the other big question that comes up is, Juggernaut going to be available for those people that didn't buy it at GameSpot or GameStop? Sorry.
Right.
It's to be determined. We're not entirely sure what we're going to do with that just yet, but anything is possible.
I'm a lucky one. I went to GameStop.
Yeah,
I get Juggernaut. I get to play with him here. So.
Right.
Fans shouldn't be worried about not getting all of the characters, but the GameStop is the one way to guarantee that you're going to get all the characters, because you'll get Juggernaut that way. All of the other characters are unlockable by playing.
All right, that's cool. It's good to know.
Yeah, and actually, it should be noted that if you want to play with Juggernaut, there will be a free compatibility pack online. So if you go online and play with somebody who does have it, download that compatibility pack, and you'll be able to at least see him in the game and be able to play him if the person you play with is so kind enough to let
him. They pop him in the party, and you switch to him.
Right.
Nice. Well, that's pretty much it. So thank you both for having a sit down with me and going over the game. And it's been a real pleasure to be here, and thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for coming.
All right, so that was great stuff from Dan Tangway. I wish I'd had the chance to meet him. One of these times, I'll have to drive up there and go hang out with them.
You know, that's twice you completely messed up. That was the producers, Jason and Jennifer.
Oh, that was Jason and Jennifer.
Man, you really need to pay attention to your own show.
I really should. Well, it's all this crazy editing. It's like when you make a movie. Well, we're filming the last scene second and the opening scene fifth. And, you know, it just throws me all off. I don't even know if it's today or Thursday.
It's today.
But
whatever
anyway.
Today is. So anyway.
So now that we've heard the good stuff, it was also good stuff from the producers. I don't want to take anything away from them either.
No. I got to be honest with you. Jason is an absolute hilarious person to just sit and talk to.
He seemed like it. I saw some of the pictures. Like, you're putting those up on the website, right?
Hopefully, if I can get around to... Oh, no. No, hopefully. I'm sitting here thinking, my Vista machine crashed, and that's usually what has all the pictures. But I haven't put the pictures from that onto my machine yet. So, yes, hopefully they will be up. No. At least some of them, because, wow, yeah. Asian poses, always a good time.
I think you ought to clarify that a little bit, because Asian poses sounds dirty.
And, yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it, because something has to sell this show. I mean, we're already messing up.
God knows it ain't going to be us.
Exactly. And we're already messing up, so, you know, it's...
Well, you know, it's... I have an infant and I'm tired and I'm not drunk. So, you know, those three things all right there.
Yeah, exactly. And Asian, you know what? There were cute Asian chicks in the picture too.
Indeed. So, since we talked to the producers, well, you talked to the producers and we heard some interesting insight into the game, the DLC.
Yeah.
But I think the question people are going to want to ask right now, since you got to play it and no one else has yet.
Wait, people from Machinima got to play it. People from Destructoid. I was rubbing elbows with some, you know, important people, I guess.
What you're rubbing against whom, when, and why is not the concern of the average listener. The average listener, the salt of the earth, people like myself, have not played the game yet, and we want to know, is it worth our hard-earned krona, dollars, drachma, rubles?
All right. We get the idea. Euros. So, really quick, to steal a line from your Batman Arkham Asylum review that we're going to be having here in a little bit, it is worth the full price of admission. And I love that line for a video game. I really do. I think we should use that more often. But it's definitely going to be a game that's worth the full price of admission because they went to the fan base. They listened to the fan base, and they put a lot of stuff in there that the fans really craved about. Any of you that have actually played Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 will flat out say the absolute biggest complaint for that type of co-op game was what, Jeff?
Having to wait 25 minutes for somebody else to decide what stuff they wanted so you could get back in and start kicking the out of baddies?
Yes, exactly.
And?
The clunky menus. Oh my god, did they annoy us. Remember when we had a certain friend of mine hanging out with us and they constantly wanted to go into the menus to tweak their character?
Oh my god, yes. Yeah.
Oh, so annoying.
Yeah.
And what they did is they made the menu and the upgrading and all that completely on the fly. You sit there, you got four of you just kicking the crap out of some baddies. One of you levels up. That one person can go and upgrade their character and tweak their stuff while the other three are still kicking the crap out of baddies.
Now, how does that work if you're playing on the same machine?
Same way it does if you're playing online.
Really?
It's really cool because it doesn't take you out of the game at all. You hit the back button on your Xbox 360 controller, and this, where your life bar is and all that, will switch into a menu. And what happens is the AI takes over your character while you're in that menu. So everything that's going on the screen is still happening on the screen, whether you're playing over Xbox Live or whether you're playing on the same console. And
wow.
You're sitting there, and it's a little menu, and you flip through your stuff, and it says which move is which, and it says which upgrade is which, and it's real easy, it's really nice, and it's very, very, very fluid. And if there's one word to describe everything that they tweaked on this game, is that they made it more fluid. So, it was awesome. It really was. Just sitting there and all of a sudden going, ooh, I leveled up. I can go upgrade a power and not have to worry about annoying the other three people I was playing with. That right there. Just that's enough. That would be enough for me for the next game. It really would. But they didn't stop there. They upgraded the graphics. They rebuilt the graphics engine from the ground up so you can have more than 7 bad guys on the screen. I mean, there was one time that we were getting into a fight, and there were like 20 robots and like 5 dudes, plus our 4 superheroes, and it was just like, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. Which is cool, because more baddie stomping, the happier we all are, right?
That sounds good to me.
So they rebuilt that, and yeah, it just the fusions, that right there, fusions. It's no longer praying that when you shoot your power at a baddie and somebody else shoots their power at the baddie, that both your powers combine and increase
into something
damage.
Useful.
Yeah. Now it's, hey Jeff, pull left trigger when I say to, and that's it.
Why do you always get to say when we fire off the powers? Why don't I ever get to say it?
Because I know what I'm doing.
Oh.
Somebody's got to be the leader. In video games, it'll be me, but here...
I guess so, because I went to a state school, so I... yeah.
So did I.
Oh. Then...
I think it's because I have the master's degree, maybe?
Nah, that can't be it.
Nah, that's definitely not
it. That's not it.
I definitely don't deserve one of those either. But otherwise, it is definitely worth the full price of admission. I loved it. The new characters that are in the game are very, very, very unique and very cool. And every single character plays different. They really do. So, for right now,
wow,
that's what
I can say. Wow, he's speechless, folks.
I am speechless. I really am. But, you know, if you want to read something a little more in-depth, firebrandradio.com, read my preview. I wrote up a preview and I posted it all for your enjoyment, if you will.
Well, very nice. Well, since you mentioned that we were going to, you had taken a line from my review of Batman Arkham Asylum, by the way, which,
yes.
I get a royalty for that, right?
Sure.
Nice. Why don't we play that? Because we recorded that as well.
All right. Well, here's Jeff's Batman Arkham Asylum review.
Firebrand Radio.
And you're golden.
Okay, we have to be honest here. Of course, Batman Arkham Asylum is going to be among the greatest Batman games ever. Some people would say the NES one was the best of all time, but you know, we'll have that debate some other time. It's certainly the best of this current gaming generation, although LEGO Batman was pretty good. However, I'm not sure if it's really deserving of all the superlatives it's been given. You know, being named to the Guinness Book of World Records as the most critically acclaimed superhero game ever? Alright, let's look at the good first. The game is beautiful. The graphics are simply stunning, and the Unreal Engine allows for fluid motion. Arkham looks just as bleak and frightening as it should. The character models are breathtaking, and I especially like how the Dark Knight's costume and cape get progressively more battered as the game moves along, in what looks like a nod to X-Men Legends Wolverine. Characters are highly detailed, and the environments are suitably moody. In a nice aversion to the trope, reality is brown, color is used effectively throughout the game. As nice as the game is to look at, it's a wonder to listen to. Sound effects are crisp, and the music can be downright haunting. In a little nod to Bioshock, oldies are scattered throughout the score to highlight how alone Batman is against Joker's hordes in the asylum. Even better is the voice work. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, Mark Hamill is a genius. His work as the Joker has always been great, but in Arkham Asylum, he really gets to cut loose and being creepy and chilling as he's ever been, more so than when he played Adrian Ripberger in Full Throttle. It helps that he has his usual sparring partner, Kevin Conroy, playing Batman. These two have worked together for years, and it shows. The rest of the voice cast also does first-rate work. The voice work would be nothing, though, without a story, and once again, Arkham Asylum shines. The script integrates the dark narrative with some truly terrifying interviews with other famous inmates of Gotham's notorious home for the criminally insane. The scenes where Scarecrow is messing with Batman's head literally made me angry, and it pushed me to keep going so I could find him and exact a small measure of revenge. It's not bad for a video game. It also occasionally lightens things up with some macabre humor. I mean, we're talking, like, maiming babies macabre, but, you know, fitting for the game itself. The fighting mechanic, while simple, is very effective and makes for engaging brawls against countless enemies. Batman's various fighting styles are represented very well here, with some truly wince-worthy moves that are shown in slow motion that just look really, really painful. Of course, we can't forget the wonderful toys, the Dark Knight's Bat Gadgets. There's nothing better than using the bat line to yank an enemy off a ledge or wing three batarangs at once to stun somebody before swooping in for the kill. I also never got tired of using silent takedowns to creep up on a thug and knock him silly. My absolute favorite, though, was using the hanging takedowns. That's where the world's greatest detective hangs upside down from the seemingly ubiquitous gargoyles scattered throughout the asylum. He zips lines down, scoops up a baddie, and hangs him from the rafters, kind of like what happens in Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, Spider-Man 3, the later ones off the light poles. Unique to this game is Detective Mode, which allows Batman to scan damaged walls to break through, scan evidence, and track enemies. You're going to find yourself using this mode a lot, as it makes it easier to determine which enemies have weapons, because they're the ones you want to target first. So far, so good, right? So where doesn't the game hold up? You may have noticed that I've made references to other games throughout this review. That's because, while awesome, a lot of this game felt derivative to me, really. Boss fights were very platformy, and not as much fun as the rest of the game. Several of the battles had a very that-one-boss feeling to them, and pulled me out of the action as I had to keep restarting over and over to get the strategy down. Boss fights against larger enemies felt very similar to any other boss fight in this genre. Dodge, stun the enemy, so he runs headlong into a wall, take some damage, three-hit combo, lather, rinse, repeat. It even had a Crash Bandicoot-esque fight where you run towards the camera away from a boss. Now that being said, where the developers didn't innovate, they did seem to refine, taking the best parts of other games and merging them. The big problem is that the game is very short. I beat the story mode in 4 days on normal. It took about 8 to 10 hours, I would guess. Granted, I didn't complete anywhere near all of the challenges, only about 1%, and I didn't find all the secrets. But I think I would have been disappointed had I paid a full $60 for this. I'll definitely pick it up when the price drops, but I can't really recommend it as more than a several weekend rental for now. Maybe when the DLC's released, I might rethink it. Now, don't get me wrong, I had an absolute blast playing Batman Arkham Asylum. It just didn't last long enough to warrant the full price of admission.
So, Jeff, after that really good review...
Thank you.
What do you think could be done to have made Arkham Asylum a little bit better for you, since you're not willing to pay full price for the game?
Well, a lot more story. I know they're talking about doing that for DLC, adding more story elements. I mean, the challenge stuff was neat, and like I said, I will go back at some point, but I would have liked more story stuff to do. I mean, just 8 hours. And I've always been hoping for, like, the definitive Batman experience, and this was pretty close.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, you know, solving the mysteries, because he was always the world's greatest detective, and they sort of touched on that here with the detective mode. But
yeah.
It was more like a stealth mode, unless, you know, I mean, yeah, some of the recording evidence and stuff was kind of cool, but it was still pointing you in the direction the game wanted you to go. So I would like the idea of more trying to solve the crime than maybe driving the Batmobile somewhere or doing something, then go and do the fighting part, then go back, you know, almost more like an MMO type of thing, almost, where you...
Well, I wouldn't say so much MMO.
Not MMO, alright. Well,
I would stay away from that.
Well, not an MMO, but I mean something like that where you just constantly have new missions.
Okay.
I mean, most RPGs have an ending somewhere, but an MMO, you can keep bringing a major big bad back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or something else can come up, or the Joker gets out of Arkham and then goes and wreaks havoc. So something like that. I would like to see that in any superhero game, because I know, I understand they have story and they have to end somewhere. But usually at the end of a superhero game, Spider-Man games are guilty of it, this one's guilty of it, there's not a whole lot of reason to go back or keep going. I mean, yeah, you can keep doing the challenges and stuff, but you're not going and fighting big bads anymore. You're fighting a bunch of random guys, and that's fun for a while, but after a while, you kind of want a challenge of something else. So that's what I would want to see.
Okay, understandable. But otherwise, the game lived up to your expectations?
Otherwise, it was fantastic. I mean, I knew it was going to be a rental just because they said it was only 10 hours long.
Yeah.
But, man, what a 10 hours. I mean, it was... And again, when it drops in price, I'm definitely going to grab it. But, I mean, it is mind-bent. I don't want my review to make it sound like, oh, it's not that good. It's great. It's really great. But it's limited. Now, on the other hand, something like a Shadow Complex, where you know it's only $15 for the download, that was only about 8 hours for me for my first playthrough, that is worth the price of admission, because it's a steal at $15, and it was just above and beyond what anyone was expecting.
Well, yeah, but also a Shadow Complex lends itself to actually have another playthrough. Like, you're sitting there saying that you just finished your first playthrough, and...
That's true.
You know, there's nothing wrong with you only finishing one playthrough, because, you know, you're not a teacher and you didn't have the whole summer off like some of us did.
Yeah, exactly.
But I finished two playthroughs of it, and I still... You know, my second playthrough of it was just an awesome time. Mm-hmm. And I actually want to play through it a third time.
Oh, yeah.
Because even, like, in this case, with the Shadow Complex, which, by the way, if you guys haven't grabbed it yet for the Xbox 360, it's a live arcade game. Definitely. That is worth the what, 1,200 Microsoft points or something like that?
I believe it was 1,200, yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a really, really good
which
game.
Which is $15 in, I believe, as they put it in a... whatever magazine it was, non-stupid currency. I forget where I read that, but I thought that was great.
Man, you really want to alienate all of the other listeners, don't you?
Well, no, they were talking about points, not non-stupid currency, meaning not in points that are, well, 400 points equals $5. I don't have to do calculus to figure out how much I owe. That's what I'm saying. I don't mean that, you know, I'm not saying that other world currencies are stupid, far from it. But
oh,
I think
right.
Points are crazy. But anyway, that's... Yeah,
they are.
Hey,
they are.
Did we just do a bonus review?
Yeah, we did, I think.
Oh, man, this show, you never know what you're going to get, do you?
No, you don't. Wow. And we were just sitting here thinking, man, we're not going to get to it. And here we are doing it. So, but yeah, Shadow Complex, great game.
But I believe we have to switch gears again, because that's how we like to do on this show.
Before we switch gears, though, I'm going to throw down a challenge. I am going to throw down our first Just Press Start challenge.
I didn't know we were doing Just Press Start challenges.
I didn't either until I thought about it. And
nice.
Here's the challenge. You
okay.
ready?
Yeah.
Anybody that can top my number of headshots in Shadow Complex, I will take my hat off to next show we have. Seriously.
Oh.
Anybody.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Have you checked your totals today?
No, I haven't. Why?
Maybe you should.
All right, I'm gonna. Actually, I have my 360 loaded already.
I haven't beaten it, but I'm sure somebody has. Was my point.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm in the top. What is it? Top 500 people on headshots right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the world, which I'm kind of shocked. I've never been that good at a game to actually break. You know. Break into the single thousands, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I actually got one for one of the challenges where I was like 247th all time.
Really?
Yeah, I was shocked. It
wow.
didn't strike me as that difficult, but I guess it was because I was like, well, if I can do it. But apparently, that was, hey, I'll take it.
Dude, my hat's off to you on that.
Excellent,
but
thank you.
Right now, I am pushing, what, almost 1,000 headshots in Shadow Complex.
Well, that's crazy, because I only had 1,000 kills.
I had two playthroughs though, so.
Yeah, but even so,
and,
wow.
And I'm going to be going through on a third playthrough soon.
That's nuts.
So, oh, dude, I like you, me, the headshots, man. What can I say?
Yo, the snipers.
That's right there. So, alright, let's change gears.
So, we want to get back to. We have the interview that I keep referring to, but we haven't actually played yet from Dan Tangway, do we not?
Yes, we do.
Well, why don't we hit that and let's talk a little bit more about Mua 2.
All right, cool. Just so you guys have a little heads up, Dan Tangway, lead game designer, if you forgot, and he is going to do all the nuts and bolts of the games. The fusions, what he took from the fan base, the characters, what he's currently playing other than Mua 2, since you're going there. And, yeah, he really gives you the insight into what this game is all about.
Today we have a very special guest here from Just Press Start. We've been given the opportunity to sit down and chat with Dan Tangway. Did I say that right?
Yes.
All right. Game director for Vicarious Visions, who is working on Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. And Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 is being released for all gaming platforms September 15th. So before we start ripping into the questions, I'd like to thank you for, you know, taking the time to sit down with us.
It's oh, sure. Cool. No problem. You're welcome.
It really means a lot to us. So.
Yeah.
All right. So there are people out there that haven't heard about the game yet, unfortunately. In fact, a lot of our listeners are like, why would I be interested in that? So why don't you tell us a little bit about the game before we really rip into the tough questions?
Okay. Well, the game is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. It is a cooperative four-player action RPG. Really what it delivers is the largest army of Marvel superheroes, which you know, makes it a direct successor to the previous Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which is a very well regarded and you know, well played game, I guess, on lots of platforms. Beyond that, it really offers a more modern narrative in the form of the popular and somewhat divisive Civil War storyline that was in Marvel Comics several years back. And, you know, finally, it offers up some new gameplay features that haven't been seen in this franchise before.
Cool, cool. We have some listeners that say that they're gamers that don't read the comic books. So would you say that this game, you would have to play the first game to really get into this, or do you have to read the comic to get into this?
So I would certainly recommend playing the first game simply because it's a good game, but you don't need to have played the first game to really enjoy this game. We really kept in mind people who aren't as familiar with, you know, the franchise, and tried to make sure that the story is accessible to them. And, you know, that really you know, plays out in terms of how we design the story. We design the story so that you just play through, you get a good story. But if you actually explore and you dig in a little bit more, you'll learn more about the story. But that's up to you to really determine what kind of level of involvement you want in the story. And, you know, we don't rely on you to have to know the characters in order to pull this, in order to, you know, get the most out of it. But, you know, there's lots of surprises there for the fans as well.
Cool. So, a big question is what are some of the major differences between Marvel Ultimate Alliance and this game that's coming out?
Okay, well, as with any good sequel, we kind of followed a sequel formula. You know, you keep some of the stuff that works, you build on some of the stuff that you know, think you can do a little bit better, and then you add some new things. Now, as far as the new things go, I had mentioned before that we're really focusing on a more modern Civil War narrative, so that's one of the biggest differences you'll notice right off the bat. Beyond that, really the other new thing that's really big that we bring to the table is fusion. And that is really kind of, you know, in Marvel terms, it's a team-up, but it's two heroes combining their powers to create a move or create a power that's more powerful than the sum of its parts. So really trying to, you know, push the destructive power of the heroes and really make you feel like you are a team of superheroes as opposed to just one superhero, as opposed to just a video game character.
Cool, cool. How much did the fan base influence the changes that were made, or the tweaks, if you will, between 1 and 2?
Oh, they had a great deal of influence. I've always worked on message boards and bulletin boards and, you know, other things like that for a while. And we're all fans here, too, so, I mean, it was pretty easy, you know, just to get a lot of information. Actually, the difficulty is really choosing what to do with it, right? So, you know, everyone, character selection, that's going to probably be the easiest thing to talk about in terms of this. Everyone has a favorite, and everyone may disagree with the types of characters you choose to put in the game, so really, you know, you have to really think out why you're choosing, you know, each character to put into the game. And, yeah, sometimes, you know, some fans will be happy with their choices, sometimes they won't, but in the cases of, you know, things that, you know, a particular fan might not be happy with, there were very good reasons that we put them in. To give you an example, I don't think a lot of people really thought of Penance as, you know, a marquee character, certainly, and not somebody who they would immediately expect to see in a roster lineup of this game. But, you know, for me, he's very symbolic of the overall story. He has a vital role in Civil War, and we really wanted to make sure that we captured that we captured, you know, some of the, you know, guilt and other things that certain characters were feeling because of this event.
Are there any specific fan issues that you did address that you can talk about?
Sure. You know, let's take it outside of characters. I think, you know, there were some fan issues with just the overall accessibility, I think, of the game. It was accessible, but, you know, some of the menus were a little unwieldy, so we put a lot of focus on that. Beyond simply just, you know, polishing up the UI, we took the opportunity to really go in and make sure that you could upgrade on the fly. You know, this is a cooperative experience, and we really wanted to make sure that, you know, the act of upgrading and all these things that are really cool to do in an RPG didn't impact kind of that cooperative experience, which led us to, you know, on-the-fly upgrading and things like that, which, you know, some fans have clamored for. Some may not have even, you know, noticed that it was missing in the first place, but when it's all said and done, I think it'll become a pretty permanent fixture in the series moving forward. Fingers crossed, of course. But
cool. A big selling point for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, and you did mention it, is performing these fusion attacks. So aside from the obvious fastball special, mm-hmm. which is the most popular with Wolverine, where did you come up with the inspiration for some of these fusion attacks?
Yeah, wow. Fusion attacks took a very, very long time to make overall. And really what we started with was, you know, a certain amount of reference from the comics, but also we just took everyone at the studio, didn't care what project they were working on. I said, all right, you mail me, you mail my designers, what's going to be the coolest fusion you think between any characters? And so, you know, we just got a ton of ideas, and then we kind of had to sift through them. You know, some of them may not have been possible, but, you know, really find the common trends and things like that between all the ideas people had, and then just start, you know, whittling your way down to something that was a little more manageable. And then it's just kind of a bouncing back and forth, you know, between, all right, this idea is really cool, but, okay, we could try and do it this way, and just sort of back and forth until you arrive at a set of ideas that you think you can actually execute on. I mean, the first idea that we had that was fairly obvious was like a beam splitter. You know, you fire a beam into a thing, it fires out the beams, and, you know, destroys a bunch of stuff. We're like, that's cool, but it's not the most interactive one we've thought of yet. So we're like, okay, fastball special, yeah, you could probably target that. And then, you know, we happened on the fiery tornado, and we're like, okay, that's pretty cool. You could steer that around. So, you know, we started developing kind of these classes of fusions, and then we start plugging ideas into those to, you know, make sure that, you know, while you have a lot of variety, people can still pick it up and learn it. Because if you had just a bunch of unique fusions across the board, no one would, they'd get lost. You wouldn't know where to start. But, really, it comes down to just a lot of brainstorming and a lot of time until you arrive at what you think is going to work. So,
all right, let's jump off topic here a little bit
okay.
for you. So, what games are you playing right now?
I have been playing a lot of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, of course. actually,
lucky.
Yeah, well, I am very lucky to have played it because I'm very happy with how the game turned out. But, pretty much during development and towards the end of it, I wasn't playing much. Previous to that, I'd been playing, you know, Mass Effect and Bioshock. Recently, you know, I just started picking things up again. I just started digging into Batman last night, Arkham Asylum, which is very cool. I've been playing Plants vs. Zombies just because it's a nice pick up and play, but, you know, I'll play pretty much anything and everything. Inspiration can come where you least expect it. You know, I play a lot of board games too. You know, yesterday I was playing the Battlestar Galactica board game. Very cool board game. Check it out.
Nice. So, play Blood Bowl at all?
I do not. But we actually have a Blood Bowl league here at the studio.
All right, I have to get in on that because yeah. I've been looking for a good league. Being that you did mention that other games did influence, you know, some of your creativity, what other games do you feel influenced Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, well, other than its, you know,
right.
first one?
Well, I think certainly the biggest influences on this genre in the console space, at least, are probably your Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance games. And previous to that, then Diablo. And Diablo is a template for so many games of this type now that it's ridiculous. Thankfully, I'm a huge fan of those games, so I don't get sick of them ever. I play, yeah, just lots and lots of action RPGs in that fashion. But even beyond that, you can look, depending on what type of goal you're trying to design toward, a lot of other different games. I'm also just generally a cooperative game junkie. I mean, I really like the sense of teamwork that those type of games foster. So, you know, we look towards things like even Gears of War, for example. You know, there's some interesting cooperative dynamics in that game. Four Swords have some very interesting cooperative and competitive dynamics. Some of those didn't make it into the final game, but, you know, still, they're an influence.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, going so far back is, you know, well, not so far back, but more obscure, like Cookies and Cream, things like that, which is a... It's an old cooperative platforming game on PS2, I think. So, yeah, not well known. But still, I mean, all of these things can, you know, influence how you're thinking about something.
Cool. I'm going to do a couple more questions. And I know you've got a lot of interviews here today. So we're going to focus a little bit on the characters again here.
Okay.
What character was the most fun to work on?
That's tough because there's so many characters to work on. But really... I find most enjoyable the characters that are the most challenging to work on. To give you an example, you know, I think fans generally gravitate towards characters that they know well. And I think, for example, making Wolverine an interesting character to play, it takes a certain amount of challenge, but I also don't think it's going to be that difficult. But then you take somebody like Invisible Woman. And she's a character that, you know, fans in certain cases haven't latched onto, unfortunately. She happens to be one of my favorites in the game now because I put it to a challenge as to the team and said, hey, you know, some people don't think we can make a good character out of her, but we need her in the game. What are we going to do? And it really, you know, forces you to rethink how you're approaching things. And I think, you know, overall, she's not a direct run-in and beat-up people because... that's just not her style, it's not her personality, but you can create powers and other things that, you know, kind of evoke that behavior. And yeah, overall I think she turned out pretty cool. So,
What characters are you most pleased with the result?
I am pleased with Invisible Woman, for example, just because of, you know, the challenge we had ahead of us. I think we've done a great job at capturing the destructive power of the characters. You know, and obviously Hulk, you know, is kind of a pinnacle in people's minds in terms of, you know, how destructive folks can be. And then also bringing a lot of the new characters to the table, I think, you know, people are really happy with how they turned out, like Songbird and Iron Fist and Penance, just because they haven't been seen before. And it's really an opportunity to, you know, introduce them to a new audience and make some new fans.
Cool. And then, Arrow, I'll finish it here. Who are your favorite characters to play as?
Who are my favorite characters to play as? Well, I'm going to be really kind of mercenary about it and say that it really depends on the situation. you know, I find we purposely designed characters to really kind of suit a particular need, and there's a lot of interesting ways you can combine them so that, you know, if you're taking down a mini-boss, then, you know, maybe I want Wolverine on the party so I can use fastballs on the mini-boss, and maybe I want a tank there, and, you know... It really comes down in my mind to how we mix up the teams. Now, as far as personal favorites go, I guess, I am a fairly big fan of Iceman just because he's very versatile. I do like how Miss Marvel turned out. She's a lot of fun to play with as well. But, yeah, I could probably rattle off all of them and say that they're my favorite in one way, shape, or form, I think.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Dan.
It's been a
pleasure. And, yeah, good luck with this game.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's going to be huge. So
I certainly hope so, but regardless, I just want people to really enjoy it and play it. So,
all right, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
All right, that was a little bit more with Dan Tangway from Vicarious Visions. Actually, that was the whole thing from Dan Tangway. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble with that today.
I don't know, man.
I haven't ruled out stupidity, so...
It's just because you're having fun.
That could be.
And, you know, this is the inaugural episode, so we really don't... We don't have comfort ground yet.
They're just going to edit... I understand they're just going to edit out everything I said anyway and replace me with a barking dog, so...
I don't have that sound clip, no.
Oh, I can call Gio in anytime you want.
Oh, sweet. Dogs for the win, so...
Well, speaking of For the Win, we hope everybody enjoyed this inaugural Virgin Edition.
Yeah.
Of Just Press Start.
I'm still kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of sitting here and I'm just like, wow, this is like completely different from DJing.
It is, because, well, you know, we're doing things like, you know, like editing, and we've never edited before, and that's going to throw us off.
Yeah, I got more production work to do. Oh, goody. I'm kidding.
Well, welcome to the big leagues there, tough guy.
I know, and this probably will be a better fit for me than just actually having a once-a-week show.
Hey,
so.
We always said you should have a five-second delay installed, so now you do.
Hey, now actually I'm forcing myself to do a five-second delay. Great. Wow.
And we've kept the swearing to an absolute minimum.
I don't think we sweared at all.
No, we didn't. We sweared.
Swore. Sorry.
Mm.
Once again!
Thank God he doesn't teach the youth of our country. Oh.
I do.
Well, anyways, Zesrock, since it is actually, you know, it's... This is your baby, as it were. Why don't you send us off?
Actually, it's not my baby. It's really a...
Oh, the tests haven't come back yet?
No. No, they haven't. And, you know, Maury is still working on it.
Well, you know who the mom is, right? At least.
Yes, I think I do.
Nice.
It's like one of five women. You know.
Oh man, you slut.
Oh, and a guy.
And a sheep.
Sure, why not? No. So
I think we found the level of the room now.
Yeah, we did. You're completely throwing me off. I don't know. I don't consider it my baby. I think it's more Robbie's baby. We finally get to meet him. I think it was more his idea, because we sat there one day and we were just like having a casual conversation about why Valve should hate on Microsoft a little more or something like that. And just the way the common conversation was, just the way we just sat there and talked about it, it just really lended itself to, I don't know, this, if you will. And I brought you on board because you definitely know your stuff, and I don't really think it's mine. I think it's everybody's, really. So, but well, like all good things, it must come to an end. So, before we go, I guess we should give you a little tease, if you will, what's going to be happening next week. So, what is it that's going to be happening next week, Jeff?
Next week, Zesrox is going to take his shirt off. Oh, wait, no, not that
no,
kind of tease.
No. We don't want to scare them away.
Not that teasing. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, next week I think we're going to talk about, I don't know, other video game stuff, aren't we? I think I'd like to talk a little bit about Alpha Protocol.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, the spy RPG that's coming out later this year. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the new version of Operation Flashpoint, see if that lives up to the promise that people are expecting from it.
Cool.
You know, some stuff like that.
I was going to bring up next week the Disney Marvel takeover, because I know it's not really video game related, but it did come up when talking it, or it does come up when you think about Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I mean, it's right there slapping you in the face. I mean, are we going to be seeing Wolverine, you know, mix it up with Cloud and Sephiroth and Mickey Mouse?
Oh, goody, another Kingdom Hearts game.
Or are we going to have a little more fun with it, where it's no longer Remy LeBeau, it's Remy LaMouse?
Ah.
Yeah,
that could be a problem there, Cher.
Yeah.
That was the worst accent ever. Don't let me ever try that one again.
That was horrible.
That was horrendous.
Yeah, we're leaving that in, but
seriously? We should. Let's just stop here. Oh.
What more or less, I'm going to talk about what the Disney Marvel takeover means, maybe some backstory into it, and maybe why Disney is doing it. Because I think I have a pretty good idea of why it's happening.
Ooh, that is a teaser.
That is.
All right, kids. Well, thanks for listening. And this was Just Press Start on Firebrand Radio. This is Jeff, and along with my partner in crime here, Zesrox.
Have a good one, guys.
Later.